Hi, everyone. Welcome to Vibrant Love. I am so happy to be back. It's been a couple of months, and I was very busy at work. There were a lot of changes that happened at once. They are still happening, and a lot of crazy new things that I had to learn and do, more so than usual. So unfortunately, my energy was taken away for a bit. Because I like to make sure that I'm fully on whenever I do these podcasts, because there's a lot of research that goes into them. It's 30 minutes of a podcast, but I like to dig in and give you some really nice information, not just my personal experiences, but also other things that are happening, whether it's trends, whether it's history. Whatever I can find, I want to make sure to give you the best podcast that I can. So I need more energy to do that. So now I'm finally feeling like I'm getting back to my old self again, which is nice. So anyhow, today we are going to talk about ramen. And you may be asking, you know, what is so special about ramen? Well, first of all, we are now approaching, everyone yells at me when I say this, but we are now approaching fall. It is, the summer's ending. A lot of kids are going back to school. The temperatures are still in the 80s and 70s, so I actually kind of like that. I'm not a big fan of the hot weather, but we're going to approach the time when it'll start to get chillier and we're going to want soup again. And we're going to want to, you know, learn about different kinds of soup we can make. However, ramen is on a whole nother level. It is so detailed. It takes a lot of patience to make, and it is just a very cultural meal, and it offers there's a lot of respect for the people that make it well. And, you know, when I was younger, I used to eat ramen and quite honestly, not really fully appreciate what I was eating and what was being given to me until I started digging in to understand the detail and the passion and love that people are putting into this. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the history of it, which is a little controversial. And also, I'm going to talk to you about a very famous Japanese ramen chef who was insane. We're going to talk about him. He made Gordon Ramsay look like Mary Poppins. So we're going to talk about him, and we're just going to talk about the process of ramen, just so you, when you sit there and you're enjoying a bowl of it, you can see what goes into it. And I will even direct you, if you decide to ever try to make it yourself, I will direct you where to go for that. But I'm going to basically just give you a high level so that you can get an idea of what's involved. And if it's something you want to try, I'll direct you where to go. So the history of ramen. So in 400 CE, which is also known as Common Era and or AD, which we're familiar with AD. So in the year of our Lord, Chinese immigrants arrived in Japan. So this dish really got going in Japan, and the Chinese imported a wheat noodle called lamian. And what is special about this noodle is that it is made in a alkaline mineral water. So as far as alkaline, you know, a lot of people, when they test water and soil, they don't want it to be too acidic. And when it's neutral, like it's not going to affect it either way, it's like a 7 on the pH scale, for those of you that are familiar with pH. So that is where this is. This the pH scale is a 7. So now to get a little sciencey on you, and then we'll get back to ramen. When an alkaline substance, which is that mineral water that is used in this, in these noodles, when that reacts with the dough becomes a springy, chewy noodle. It's not going to dissolve. You know how some noodles are a little bit thinner And when you put the hot, super hot broth on top of it, some of them dissolve. That's not going to happen with this noodle because of the alkaline mineral water that is in this recipe for the noodles. So it also gives this reaction that happens when the noodles hit the hot broth. It actually gives the ramen its yellow hue because a chemical reaction happens when the alkaline solution hits the dough, and then the dough hits the broth and it makes it more yellow. So that's the typical yellow hue. The broth itself also has a golden color, but this alkaline water that's in the dough intensifies that color. So it's really cool. And that is some of the reasons why ramen is a little bit more special. And there's a lot of care and patience taken with ramen. So let's talk about it a little more. What is ramen? So ramen is the Chinese wheat noodles served with a hot broth. You have some people use a soy sauce. I am going to be talking about a specific recipe in a little bit, but there are different types of recipes out there. There are some easy recipes because some people don't want to go through the process. But if you want to go through the process, there's a little bit more of an involved recipe. Some people like to put miso in it for additional flavor. Miso is, I cook with it all the time. It is fermented soybeans, salt, rice, seaweed, things of that nature. I like to use it in mushroom dishes. I will toss a little bit of spaghetti and mushrooms and miso. And then I usually put some ginger in there just to give it an extra zing. Love that. You can slice in some pork, some nori, which is seaweed. I like to put strips of nori in there, scallions, bamboo shoots. Some people like to slice an egg in half, a hard-boiled egg, and put that in there. It just really adds to the look, the flavor. The egg is a nice source of protein. It's really, really good. So modern ramen was invented in 1958 by Momofuku Endo. And it is, you know, ramen the way we know it is easy, right? You get the noodle cake and you get the packet of spices. So what do you think about when you have ramen? College students, they're busy, it's a quick meal, it's filling, it's really good. What do you add to ramen? Think about those kinds of things. But it's really easy, right? You just put it in boiling water and you add the season packet and you're done. So, but there's so much more to this. And I think it's important to hear about it and to see what goes on. So now I'm going to talk about the man that is very well known in Japan. He was a ramen chef named Sano-san. And the best way I can describe him, he was the equivalent, if you've ever watched the Seinfeld show, he is the equivalent of the soup Nazi. He is very strict. He has rules pasted in the restaurant. And he is exactly, he's not worried about the customer being right. If you don't follow his rules, you're out. And people put up with it because his ramen is so good and they don't want to be thrown out. They want to keep coming back because the lines are really long. I mean, it is the classic soup Nazi situation in Japan. I mean, it's ridiculous. So what were some of his rules in this restaurant? You had to be quiet. If you brought kids in the restaurant, they had to be quiet too. They can't be running around. They can't be making noise. I mean, don't bring your kids. That's all I have to say. Well, this restaurant is, you know, he's not working there anymore. But I mean, you know, no perfume. If he smells it, you get kicked out. And no smoking. And again, this is back like the 80s were when it was really big. But no one could replicate what he did with his ramen. And he had such a captive audience that people just did what he said because they didn't want to be thrown out. So it was really crazy. So what we did was we were able to get a hold of the recipe. And there is a, I did a lot of research and this was my best source of research. There is a YouTube channel called Way of Ramen. And he's a dad that is doing his best to make the best ramen out there. He has friends that have connections in Japan that were able to get this recipe. Sano-san is no longer with us, but this man that started Way of Ramen was able to get a hold of his recipe, and it is very detailed, but it was the best ramen ever. So how does it work? Basically, what's involved, so if you want to know more about the noodles, remember I said how the noodles are made with like an alkaline mineral water and things like that. There's a detailed recipe right on his YouTube channel. You can click on, you can watch the video and the recipes underneath, and you can look at that recipe. And if you want to make the noodles, you can get them there. Now, there is a sauce. Now this sauce is to be put to the side, and you can even put this in the refrigerator, you know, the night before or something like that. This is the sauce that you spoon into the bowl. It's like a soy sauce, but there's other ingredients in it, other flavors. You put that in, then you put the broth, then you put the noodles, then you put like the vegetables and the meat or whatever you want. So the way that this sauce works, what you're gonna do is you're gonna boil seaweed. You're gonna remove the leaves and leave the liquid behind. Then you're gonna put in these fish flakes. Now there are different names for it. And by the way, this Way of Ramen YouTube channel, he has the products too. So if you need to buy the products, he's got them. You can just go right on his site and his store is right there, you can get them. You can get the fish flakes and you're going to boil. So the seaweed that left the liquid, you're going to boil the fish flakes in there for about 5 minutes, squeeze out as much as the liquid as possible. Then you're not going to heat up anymore. You're going to add the salt that they recommend, the mirin, which is a, it's like a dark looking vinegar. You can get it at any Asian section. Sake. And you stir to dissolve, and once you dissolve and you get it down to like room temperature, then you're gonna add the soy sauce. And you're gonna mix that together, put it in the refrigerator, cool it down, and then you're gonna get to the broth. Now, how does the broth work? Here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna take a big stock pot, and you're gonna put in pork bones, which usually they look for like femur bones. Those are the best ones that have a lot of flavor. You're gonna layer them at the bottom. Then you'll put the chicken backs on there. Believe it or not, you're gonna use the chicken feet. Now, if you decide to go this route, make sure, this is gross, but it's not gross to me because nothing in the culinary world grosses me out anymore. If you're gonna put the chicken feet there, cut the nails off, and then put the pork fat on top of that. So I am recording, the reason why my words don't make sense, I am recording this episode a little bit earlier than I'm going to actually post it, and it is 2 a.m. right now. So I am just, my words are not making sense, but I promise you this is still going to be a great podcast. So that is how you're going to layer it. That's going to be the best for the flavor. Then you're going to put all of the aromatics on top of all that. So you're going to put the onion, the carrot, the garlic, the ginger, the Napa cabbage, the green onion. If the pod is a little bit smaller, just break the green onion in half, and that'll actually move it more of the aromatics. Then you're going to put some dried shrimp in there. Here's what I'll tell you about the dried shrimp. I am allergic to shrimp. I am allergic to lobster. I'm allergic to crab. I'm allergic to crustaceans, anything that turns pink when you cook it. For some reason, when dried shrimp, if it's a small amount, are in a liquid or a soup, it doesn't bother me. Now, I can't speak for other people. Everyone's allergies are different, but I just want to let you know, for those who are allergic, more so than others, you know, that could happen. But I'm very allergic, and for some reason, the dried shrimp, as long as it's a small amount, which it is in this recipe, it doesn't bother me. I don't know why. So you're going to simmer all of that for 4 hours. And there's going to be some scum at the top, which is like this white substance. You're going to take that off. There's actually skimmers out there. You could use a regular large spoon, or there's actually a skimmer where it looks like a little scoop, but it has a screen in it, and you just take it out that way. And you take that off, and so then you're going to put it together and simmer it. Now, on the side, now the night before you can do this, you soak seaweed and shiitake mushrooms in about a liter of water or so, and you can do that the night before. Usually the night before it's best, because when you soak the seaweed and the shiitake mushroom, it takes all those flavors. Now, you don't have to get rid of the shiitake mushroom, but get rid of the seaweed, because it already did its job when you soaked it the night before. So after you do that, then you're going to want to add the fish flakes. Then you're going to want to boil that for about 5 minutes. Then squeeze all that out. Make sure all the liquid is in there. That's the dashi. Then you're going to add all of that to the soup. And you're going to let that simmer for 4 hours. So that's how that works. Now, once you don't want to get it to a full boil. You want to simmer it for 4 hours. Cover it over, simmer it for 4 hours. Now, once the soup is finished after 4 hours, a lot of people say when it comes to ramen, they like it a little bit more clear. And some people complain that it's too cloudy. So here is a technique that works pretty well to keep it kind of, the broth kind of clear. You strain the soup and you ladle it ladle by ladle. And then you put it in another bowl and you try not to disturb all of the ingredients on the bottom. Then once you finish and the liquid is still kind of absorbed in all the ingredients, then you take a strainer above where you're putting the liquid gold, I call it, which is the ramen broth. Then you lightly squeeze the ingredients through this little strainer and the rest of the liquid comes out, but not too much. So it's not super cloudy. It's still nice and clear and has that golden hue, which is exactly what you want. So that is basically the process. And then at the end, remember that it's actually called shitare, I believe. And it is where it's the first thing that we made. So they boil the seaweed and then they added the mirin and the fish flakes and all that. Remember that? We made that in the very beginning. So that was put off to the side. And then we made a second dashi. And remember, we added the shiitake mushroom. That was a different thing that was added to the soup. Well, this dashi is set to this. I'm sorry, this shiitake is set to the side. That was the one that we did in the beginning. And you take a spoonful of that, like a ladleful, and you put it on the bottom of the ramen bowl. So that it. Remember, we added the soy sauce to that first group. That is what you want to put in the ramen. So you put that in the bowl first, then you ladle the actual ramen broth, then you put in your noodles, then you put in your meats, your eggs, your veggies, whatever you're gonna have, and try to do it in a nice, artistic, beautiful way. And that is how you make ramen from scratch. Again, way of ramen, if you really wanna try it on your own, go and do that. So how about some of you that are saying, Laura, this is really cool. It's interesting. How do we get the easy version? There are tons of easy recipes on there, but if you want to buy it, there are different brands out there. The one that I usually get is the Marichan, I believe it's pronounced. And there's a bunch of, there's Cup of Soup. There's like different things out there. Well, anyway, I found, now having ramen in, like it's the noodle cake with the packet, having ramen all the time is not really great for you, but having it once in a while is fine. And I found a new brand called Immi, I-M-M-I. It is a plant-based ramen noodle, and it is infused with pumpkin seeds, so it has a lot of protein. And as far as some of the differences, the fat content is about the same for the whole package. It's about 14 grams, which is about what it is for the regular ramen. The carbs are 24 grams for the whole packet, which is less than what any of the other ones would have. But there's 19 grams of fiber in there, which is not existing with the regular ramen packets. So again, this is called Immi, I-M-M-I. It also has 21 grams of protein as opposed to 4 grams of protein with the other versions of ramen. Now, what does it taste like? The noodles actually taste really good. They're chewier than the other ramen. But you know how when you eat a big bowl of ramen and you have the regular noodles, you feel like really full, but sometimes not in a good way. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten all that. That I didn't feel that with these protein-enriched noodles with the pumpkin seeds. Again, you don't see the pumpkin seeds. They're infused in the ramen noodles. So, but yeah, I mean, but again, a lot of different things you can do. Some people do, I call it lazy ramen. You still want protein in there if you're not getting the Immi, which is a protein-enriched ramen. If you just have regular ramen, sometimes it's nice to add a hard-boiled egg in there for additional protein. Some people, they just scramble the egg and then put it in almost like an egg drop soup. And what it tends to do is kind of go and coat the noodles so you have a little bit of protein in there. Lots of different things that you can do with the ramen. But again, what's really cool and special about ramen is there are a lot of ingredients that add such a bold flavor. And the ingredients and the process that I just told you about by Sano-san, again, crazy guy, but he, deep down, he wanted people to have a good experience and really focus on the taste. Because if you're talking, you're on your phone, you're in conversation, you know, he felt that we didn't appreciate what we were tasting or taking the time out or being present with our culinary treasure, as he felt it was. So even though he was a complete nut job, there was a reason behind it. He wanted people to be in the moment and enjoy the work that he put into it, because it is a lot of work. It is a lot of patience. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I so appreciate you all coming back to listen to it. If you have any questions or you want me to do a podcast on a certain topic or anything, please let me know. And I hope you all have a great day. Thank you.